What's your name, fool?
Capital P, Bandana P, VIP, MVP.
Information to the name, we're out. Can't they see us wildin' out on the video? Don't they see us in the club swinging elbows? Or on the street with our jewels on the cell phone?
It's the cream I love, for the team I shove. All fakeness and everything else, far away from us.
Yeah, to all the killers and the $100 billers. Billers.
The rotten apple made me like this. I don't give a f.
Check it out now.
I break bread, ribs, $100 bills. Apply street rules to the office. High performance, rap author. Make millions off of melodic, hypnotic productions.
For real, niggas who ain't got no feelings. Feelings.
Check out my lifestyle, it's an off-road course. I stay challenged, but that's a good thing, cause it creates balance.
I got you stuck off the realness. We be the infamous, you heard of us.
Raised by the wolves, trained by the pain. Adopted by gorillas, got a tank for a car. Ice for arm, got tattoos for skin and stars for bra.
There's a war going on outside, no man is safe from. You could run, but you can't hide forever.
Ha, elemental P, heavy metal thing.
Life is a gamble, we scramble for money. I might crack a smile, but ain't a damn thing funny.
You walking with your head down, scared to look. You shook, cause ain't no such things as halfway crooks.
M-O-B-B, D-E-P, A-C-D, burn something, let's get lifty. Queens, is you with me?
Hey yo, Queens, get the money, long time, no cash. I'm caught up in the hustle where the grills go blast.
Your simple words just don't move me. You're minor, we major. You're all up in the game and don't deserve to be a player.
Yo, that's my shit. I need that shit to boost my adrenaline. Yo, rock that shit. That real life shit.
Now, take these words home and think it through. Or the next rhyme I write might be about you, Sonny.
Today on the AV Podcast, as you can see, we're remembering Prodigy from Mobb Deep. He was laid to rest this week in Queens, but his music and the legacy he leaves behind in hip-hop will live on forever. I bring on a few guests today to break down his impact, our favorite songs, just everything. It's everything Prodigy today. It's all Prodigy. Hip-hop heads and music lovers, today we're going to get hooked on Mobb Phonics, infamous Bonics. Sit back and enjoy. Rest in peace to that brother, and condolences to his family, loved ones, the Mobb Deep family, and hip-hop as a whole. To listen to more podcast shows, make sure you subscribe right here to SouthShoreAV.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAV.com. It's the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore AV Radio. Let's go.
Welcome to the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore AV Radio.
So I'll let you know what inspired me to do this podcast, because initially I really didn't have the intention to do so. But once I found out that he died, I was like everybody else. I was just basically reflecting by playing a bunch of Mobb videos all day. But over the course of the next few days afterwards, the outpouring of sadness and mourning from fans all over social media, the tweets, the Facebook likes, the Snapchat videos, the IG posts, all the conversations with friends and family about this man, sharing post after DM after text message of his lyrics or Mobb Deep videos, it made me feel so nostalgic about the music that I just decided to create a pod about Prodigy, the hip-hop icon and one of the best rappers to come out of New York City. So today the podcast is separated into three segments. And first off the bat, I welcome DJ Chris Nice from My Line Radio and DJ G Sharp from WPGC 93.5 FM in Washington, D.C. to talk about their favorite Mobb songs. Let's not waste any more time. Let's get into it. Let's go. My next set of guests today both have at least 25 plus years as DJs in the music business, so I like to think these two men are qualified to have this discussion. Both were on together on the 25th anniversary of the movie Juice, where we discussed the soundtrack era of the 90s. It's actually one of my favorite podcasts altogether, to be honest. I'd like to welcome back DJ Chris Nice and DJ G Sharp to the show, talking about their favorite Mobb Deep songs and Prodigy songs, of course. What's good, fellas?
Hey, what's happening? Hey. Glad to be back.
What's good, gentlemen?
I'm going to start it right off. G, I'm going to start with you. As a DJ, outside of Shook Ones, I'm not going to include Shook Ones, of course, because that song is will probably forever go down as one of the greatest songs ever. What is your favorite song to play from Mobb Deep, you know, from a DJ perspective?
well, you just said it, but no, I understand. You got to take Shook Ones out because that's in the class by itself.
Yeah.
But I have, I guess, a sentimental connection to the infamous album. So other than Shook Ones, I'll definitely go with Survival of the Fittest. That track just has an ominous feel to it, and it's grimy, it's hard, it's got tempo. I mean, it's one of the few what I would consider underground tracks that the fellas move to and the women move to. You know what I'm saying? It just had that energy that no matter what kind of vibe you're coming from, you had to move to Survival of the Fittest.
Yeah. There's something about that bass line is just, it hooks you in. I can't lie.
Yeah. And then when you hear that 808 drop right before the beat really kicks in, it's just like the warm-up, like, all right, y'all got to get ready. You ready? You ready? And then bang, there it is, you know? So that's my favorite. But I just want to share a little interesting story as far as why that infamous album has a special place for me. When I was, you know, back in my radio days, when I was doing mix shows and you know, I was doing mix shows in WPGC in Washington, D.C., so, you know, working, doing the mix shows and working with a lot of record labels from time to time, you know, the labels would give us, whether it was promotional items like T-shirts, bags, you know, whatever it was, just to kind of show their appreciation for us playing the music. And if we were playing a song and we kind of helped push that song to the next level in terms of sales or airplay, they would give out plaques, you know, whether it was to commemorate, you know, gold, which is half a million sales for an album, or platinum, which is a million sales. So the label that Mobb Deep was on at the time, which was Loud Records, they actually gathered Loud Records. Yep. Back then, Loud Records, they gathered about 30 DJs from around the country, some of the top and middle-sized markets that got on that Mobb Deep track, the Mobb Deep album early on, and supported it in the mix shows and got it some airplay. They took us out to Atlanta, and they actually took us out and put us up in hotels and took us on a paintballing tournament. So they flew us all in and put together this paintball tournament, and Mobb Deep was there. And at the time, a couple of the guys from Wu-Tang showed up. Raekwon was there. RZA were there, right? Wow. So we were chopping it up and hanging out, and this was a two-day event. So we were there the Friday, had dinner. Saturday, we were out at the paintballing all day, and then Sunday, we had a final gathering, get-together dinner. So it was Steve Rifkin at the time that was the president of Loud Records, you know, thanked us for coming out. And one by one, they gave us, and this was at the time, my first certified gold plaque, and they gave each and every one of the DJs gold plaques for half a million sales of the infamous album. Wow. And that was the first plaque that I'd ever received as a DJ, so not only was it for a seminal hip-hop album, but it was my first. So that means a whole lot more to me than a lot of the plaques that I've gotten. So that's my little Mobb Deep story.
Nice. Jeez. And here I was like, man, I just like it because I had the album when I was young.
Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to share that because, you know, and when I met them, you know, both Havoc and Prodigy, rest in peace, you know, were two of the most down-to-earth, fun-loving cats. I mean, they were really young back then, too, so they were just loving life because, you know, they were getting a lot of love from us. They were, you know, making their impact. and they were just having a good time, and they just had that great energy back then. So, you know, it means a lot to me to have been a part of that, and that album, The Infamous. Yeah, I know they've had, you know, some hot albums after that, but for me, The Infamous, of course, Shook Ones and Survival of the Fittest, those are my two favorites.
And Chris, what about you?
it's tough because I've had so many favorites from Mobb Deep, but boy, if I had to say, I would say probably at the, for the clubs, I might have to say Quiet Storm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quiet Storm, I mean, the production, everything, club-wise, besides Shook Ones, if I couldn't pick Shook Ones, I may have to go to Quiet Storm, but you know what, though? Survival of the Fittest might beat that out as far as overall. So if I'm spinning at a party, I might use a Quiet Storm, but for me, for Chris, something about Survival of the Fittest just, I did it on my show. I did a little tribute on my show on Friday, and I said, when I heard this song back in the days, it's like, it took me to this place where it's like you want to do something bad, so you just take it out on dancing. You know, and it just brings all that grimy energy. Like when you hear that intro, that bass line. And I think, Calvin, I was telling you this, where the downside about us going into the digital world is that we lost, when it comes to that track, well, tracks like that track, we lost that feel, that heavy bass line feel in what we had in the vinyl when we used to play the 12-inch compared to now playing the MP3. So that punch that I used to get, that used to rumble your chest, shake you to the core, from the 12-inch of Survival of the Fittest, I don't get that same feeling when I play or when I hear the MP3 version of it. So that's a downside of us going to the digital world, is that we lost the sound for tracks like that, because that song, that sound that Survival of the Fittest carried with it was just incredible. And I have a quick story that I don't know if Greg will remember. We were at a music conference in Miami, and we were standing on the street corner heading to one of the seminars or something like that. And some guy pulled up at the light. He was in a convertible, and he was pumping. Actually, as he pulled up, the beginning of Survival of the Fittest came on. And the whole corner froze because it was so loud. And when that bass line hit, you could do nothing but just freeze. And who wasn't shaking their shoulder was just standing there still until the light changed and the guy drove off with a smile on his face. And we were like, oh, my God. The production was that powerful that it froze like a whole corner. You know, it was like, wow. So I would say that is probably my favorite Mobb Deep track.
I'll say it's interesting just because, like, what's lost in the moments of the paying respect for Prodigy and stuff, which I totally understand, is what gets lost in that is the underrated factor of Havoc as a producer, because I think him spreading that landscape for Prodigy to, you know, to basically spit his rhymes on, I mean, and I'll get into it a little bit just in a few minutes with regards to that, but that was probably one of the best partnerships ever when it comes to that. Like Havoc is, you can talk about the greatest producers of all time, and his name rarely gets mentioned. Yet Mobb Deep were kind of the ones that kind of moved the culture forward, and a lot of it was production. You know, it wasn't just the lyrics. A lot of it was production too. Just, like even Survival of the Fittest, you can just listen to that instrumental, like all the way through, and still be satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The production was just that strong on a consistent basis. Like he gets underrated, man. I always say there was at least a 5-year mark where you can rank that with anybody, man. Like in terms of their impact and their consistency and the list of tracks that they had. But for me, I would say I'd agree with you guys. Survival of the Fittest is definitely high. Quiet Storm, the original and the remix. I always loved It's Mine. Y'all need to give it up.
Yeah.
We don't give it. Yeah, that's that one. Yeah, I always love that record. I always love that record to this day. And
didn't get played enough, man.
No, it really didn't. But I really loved it. And the other one was one of my personal favorites, was Drink Away the Pain. Something about that record, guys. Yo, every time I hear that record to this day. You know, soft spot in my heart for that one, man. I love that record.
Where were you in your life at that time when that track came out, bro?
Before I started really consuming liquor. That's the funny thing.
Somehow you were able to relate to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, somehow, some way.
Interesting.
I know. It's quite weird. Mom, don't listen to this. Yeah, and then the other one was G.O.D. Part 3, Godfather Part 3.
Yeah, nice.
That one as well. And you know what? And I'll even take it out of the mom category when it comes to Prodigy, at least. I always loved how we sounded I Shot You, the LL Cool J track.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll add this as well. And I was talking to one of my friends about this last week and all these discussions with regards to Mobb Deep and Prodigy and everything else. I always felt, and I don't know, I'll see if you guys agree with me with this, but I always felt, for me anyway, that in the 90s, Prodigy had, you know, I don't want to say he was the greatest lyricist, because he was definitely nice, though. But one thing I will say, his voice and his delivery, it was something that grabbed you immediately, at least for me. There was him, I would say Biggie, Snoop, Method Man, and Buckshot, I would say. Like, basically, you didn't really care what they said. It's just their voice and how they said it got you every time.
Right.
You know,
yeah, like, when I hear, even, I mean, you know, respect to Havoc, too, but, you know, just to talk about Prodigy,
right.
His tone was very threatening.
Right.
You know, he didn't have to say a lot, but what he said and how he said it just seemed so threatening. I mean, he just had that threatening vibe to him. Like, yeah, you want it? Because you're going to get it. That's what grabbed me. You know, Snoop, you know, he had that pimp, you know, smoothed out kind of vibe. I mean, in his lyrics. And then Biggie, you can just tell he was a storyteller. So he would just say, sit down and listen to this. That's how I got with Biggie. But with Prodigy, he just seemed threatening.
But sometimes Prodigy also sounded like he was doing it from a couch.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's times when he just sounded laid back, like it was just so smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I was saying threatening, I don't mean like that aggressive in your face, but you know, just kind of, I mean what I say and I say what I mean.
Yeah. Well, you know, a brother could threaten you from a couch too, right?
Right.
Because think about it, Quiet Storm. When you hear Quiet mm-hmm. Storm, sounds like he's just laid back. Do you know another one you could throw in there too? That was also one of my favorites, but I could never really play it anywhere because except at certain parties because I never got the clean version was Extortion.
Yeah, I remember mm-hmm. that. Well, Method Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was special. That was a special one too.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to choose. It's like, it's almost like asking the, you know, who your favorite child is. It's hard to choose which one, you know, although some people would say, oh, that's easy. That's an easy question. But because, I mean, you got like Hell on Earth and like, I mean,
Hell on Earth, yeah.
You know, like one of my favorites with Prodigy, of course, is this is when he went on his own. Keep It Thorough.
Yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. that was another one where it's just the whole style of him, his voice.
Menu. Yeah, back at just, you.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to get out of control with 50 Cent.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I was like about that track? The aggression of the production.
Yeah.
That's a nice track.
And not just the aggression. Somehow they hit the aggression points while also making it smooth, if that makes sense. Because it's funny. The day that he died, they played the video on TV. I forgot what channel it was on. Wasn't MTV because MTV don't play videos anymore. They played that track, and I was like, you know what? Honestly, that's an underrated track, man. Like I think people don't look at it the same because it was 50, and at that point, people started getting a little tired of 50. But
mm-hmm.
like, that's a dope track.
Yeah.
Like you hear that, especially when you hear it loud. Psh, yeah, that mm-hmm. song. That song was dope. And then one of my favorites too was. Oh man, win or lose.
Oh yeah. Alchemist.
Mm-hmm.
Here I go again. Yeah, that's You know, I played that on my show, and I can't lie, man. When I was bringing it in, I got a sad feeling in my chest. I did because of the song. Like, the way she sings that song, yeah. It's like, it was kind of heavy knowing that, you know, brother just passed. I felt a little thing in my chest when I bought that one in.
You know what? As we're speaking about great duos and such, or we touched on that point earlier, I'm going to ask you guys an interesting question. What rapper had a better marriage with the production from his DJ or partner? Prodigy with Havoc, CL Smooth with Pete Rock, Rakim with Eric B, or Gruo with Premier? Go!
Gruo.
Really?
You say better? I'm going to say Gruo with Premier.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that the other cats you mentioned, that wasn't a good marriage.
Yeah.
I'm only going to say Gruo with Premier because again, my only opinion, you know, there was more consistency with their tracks together.
Yeah.
Pete Rock, I mean, his production, he would kind of experiment a little bit, and it wasn't always consistently sounding good with CL Smooth's lyrics to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still a good pairing.
Right.
You know, Havoc's tracks with Prodigy and incredible. Eric B, absolutely. But I think out of that group you mentioned, I'm going to go with Gruo and Premier.
Same here.
Yeah? Why do you say, Chris?
Same thing. It was just a perfect marriage. And I always felt like when I heard Gruo elsewhere, he was good, but he was special when he did a track with Primo. There was something about that mix. He was just special.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I guess you could say that because, you know, Prodigy was a better rapper than Gruo in my eyes anyway. But, yeah, you could put him on other tracks like separated from Havoc, and he still sounded dope. But it's tough. I wouldn't rank them personally. I don't know if I could really rank them because they all, well, all four pairings got a special place for me. You know, like, you know, I always loved Pete Rock and CL Smooth. You know, Eric B and Rakim. Well, I probably just started listening to hip hop then when they were around, and Gruo and Premier. Well, Premier is my favorite producer of all time. Like, that was like my guy. Like, when I got a chance to meet Premier for the first time, it was like, that's probably one of the best days ever as a hip hop fan. Not a rapper, you know what I mean? Not, you know, whoever else. It was Primo. Like, getting a chance to meet Primo was like that was everything for me. You know what I mean? So. But I tell you what I would have loved to hear in the 90s was Prodigy over a Primo beat. You know, I think that would have been crazy. Again, Primo's a genius to me because, listen, forget Nas, forget Biggie, forget Gruo even. He made Group Home great.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's the sign of a good producer right there. Yeah.
That's true. So he never did anything with Havoc?
I mean, with Prodigy? I mean, I'd have to look it up, but I don't know if they ever worked together. If they did, I mean, it was, I don't know. It probably would have been after their heydays if that pairing even happened.
Yeah, I got to look that up because I thought they did.
Yeah, I don't know if they did, but I mean, I would have liked to hear it then, like when both of them were at the top of their games, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would have been like extremely special, but I don't know. I don't think they did. I don't believe so. So you know, I'll end it off with this. The segment with this. What's the lasting impression that you feel that Prodigy leaves on hip hop? I'll start with you, Chris.
For me, the lasting impression I would say is hip hop. Like, I always tell my son, I said, "There's hip hop that you guys listen to today." And then there's hip hop that to me will always be there. You know, like 20 years from now, it's like that's almost like a piece of the foundation. It's not the total foundation, but it's a piece of the foundation. Acts like Mobb Deep. You know, it's a kind of hip hop that not everybody may like, you know, that like certain females may not like it, but if you're really a true lover of hip hop, it was hard to ignore that kind of production and what it did to you know, your core when you heard that kind of production.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that lasting thing that he leaves for me is it's if that's hip-hop. Like, I felt like last week we lost a slight piece of hip-hop. We're getting to that stage where we're seeing people going. And that's how I felt. Like, when I got the news, I felt like, man, I just lost a slight piece of hip-hop. Another piece, because, you know, we lost a piece last year with Fife. I felt like, here we go again. Another piece just got chipped off again.
You know, I'm echoing what Chris says. I mean, if he left behind some hip-hop history for us to reflect on. I'm a DJ. I'm not a lyricist by any stretch. So it'll take me a dozen times, maybe more, when I hear a track before I even start listening to the lyrics.
Right.
But I always did it with Prodigy and Havoc, because the way they delivered their track, the way they did that, they delivered their lyrics on those tracks, it really made me pay attention, not just to what they were saying, but how they were flowing on that beat. Mm-hmm. So for me, being a DJ, first thing that I always listen to is the rhythm and the beat. And it takes me a while to really hear the lyrics. But from the minute that I heard Mobb Deep, I was hearing lyrics. And I was hearing lyrics over that beat. And I was hearing that perfect marriage. So yeah, he definitely left behind a piece of what hip-hop is. DJ and a rapper.
The only thing I'll add to that is, it's funny, I caught a piece of the BET Awards last night, and the part that I caught is they had Havoc and Lil' Kim say their little condolences and, you know, their little shout-out to Prodigy, and then they announced the best male hip-hop artist, which is Kendrick Lamar won. And Kendrick Lamar basically had a touching thing that he basically said to Havoc. He was like, yo, like, you guys are basically the reason why I started rapping. And so the fact that you can see that the legacy of what he did is still felt now, I think that's really cool, you know, because I wouldn't expected that, you know. And he was like, yeah, he said, you know, when he heard HNIC and, you know, all that stuff, he was like, yo, that's where, you know, he became tight. And on another interview I heard as well, that was somebody like Kendrick Lamar, I heard that, like, the manager that he has today said the reason why they became best friends was because of the love for Mobb Deep. You know, especially being out of the West Coast and everything else. I think that's so cool. So the legacy left was, you know, like, past even us. Like, it's seeing that, and I'm like, wow, that's really cool. You hope that somebody like him takes that and moves it forward, which he looks like he's doing, because Kendrick Lamar is definitely doing his thing.
Time will tell, but I think you're right. He's definitely carrying the torch.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And yeah, that's the only thing I'll just add to that. Just the legacy he left on, especially my generation, was heavy. I know this other section of this podcast we're about to go into, and I get into that discussion with my other guest as well, is that it kind of threw me for a loop as to how much of an impact he had. For me, you know, I was definitely one of, like, I was a Mobb Deep head, but just to see so many people just outpouring love, and you know, you hope a lot of it is real. I know me and you spoke on that a little bit, Greg, when we were talking about just the concept of being able to get the roses while you're still alive, you know, and mm-hmm. and you hope it's genuine. You hope it's not something that people are just like latching onto just because, you know, a legend died, and you hope, like, they were just as much as passionate fans as we were for it, you know. All right, fellas, before we go, and first of all, thank you guys for coming on the podcast and sharing your thoughts on Prodigy. But anything you guys want to plug before you go? Let's start with you, Chris.
Yeah, first I want to say thank you for having me on once again, and you can hear me each and every Friday at mylimeradio.com. That's mylimeradio.com, each and every Friday, 2 to 4 p.m., and I'm happy we're wrapping it up, because, you know, I want G to go back to the Mobb Deep conference, and I want us to get the full story now of the conference.
The behind the curtain.
You're not old enough.
Geez, anything you want to plug before you go?
I still do my Friday WTF, Welcome to Friday throwback mix on WPGC 95.5 on the Joe Clare Morning Show every Friday.
do that from 8 o'clock to 8:30. So for those of you around the world, you can just log into WTGC.com and listen live when I do my show.
All right, enough said. So that was section one of the podcast. Once again, shout outs to DJ Chris Nice and DJ G Sharp for sharing their thoughts on Prodigy. Make sure you tune in to their radio shows. And now that the long weekend is here, I know they're going hard on the ones and twos. Next up, I bring in Will Strickland from the Open Run articles on PressBasketball.com, as well as the host and organizer of the Full Court 21 basketball tournament, which you'll share the news on in a few minutes. And he's also here to share his thoughts on his love for Bandana Pete. Today on the Prodigy edition of the Av, he's the host and organizer of the Full Court 21 Canada basketball tournament across the country, and also the author of The Open Run, which you can catch on PressBasketball.com. But as much as I know him to be about basketball, I know him to be a music head, especially hip-hop. So when Prodigy passed away last week, I just had to get his thoughts on the matter. Please welcome Will Strickland to the Av. What's good, brother?
Trying to maintain NBA operation, you know what it is.
So, hey, listen, man, you know, everybody's holding their hearts for the passing of Prodigy out of Mobb Deep. What were your thoughts when you heard the news that he passed away?
I was definitely sad. I mean, you have one of the most fierce MCs to ever do it. One of QB's finest, Queensbridge, and a guy who's probably the owner of some of the most iconic opening bars in rap music history. You know, one of my favorites of all time is from Keep It Thorough. As soon as the piano licks start hitting, and I hear I Break Bread, Ribs, $100 Bills, Peel on the Ducatis and Other Four Wheels, Buy the Book Full of Medicine and Generate Mills, Tour the Album Only for More Sales. Like, come on, man. He's killing them. So, rest in Prodigy to my man Albert Johnson. You know, they came a long way from being the Poetical Prophets when he and Havoc first started out. You know, before Mobb Deep, they're Poetical Prophets. I don't know if everyone knows that. You know, and they were signed to a little deal, and then eventually came out as Mobb Deep and did their thing, you know. And like I said, you think about the history of Mobb Deep and some of the iconic songs they were a part of, and you realize how beloved they were, you know, in their own realm. They're not Jay-Z, they're not Nas in that sense, but they were definitely beloved by the community and by the industry that, you know, they helped to shape to this day. So they're a big part of that.
Yeah, I mean, I felt the same way. I just felt the overall sadness for hip hop as a whole. But for me, I felt like a part of my youth was lost hearing the news that Prodigy passed away. For me, because, you know, back then I was like, you know, late teens, you know, going into early adulthood, and Infamous and Hell on Earth. That's when I moved from Montreal to Toronto. And what struck me, just again, being that we were in Canada, is that even in Montreal and Toronto, there was such a deep, deep following and a love for Mobb Deep. You had guys in Montreal where I swear they felt like they were from Queensbridge. I'm sure they're probably researching their family roots just to see if one of the kinfolk was from the QBC, you know? And then, you know, when I moved to Toronto and you thought maybe things might be a little different, maybe. You ran into people who definitely thought the same way or more. You know, it was just the love was just so, it was just so invested into these guys. And, you know, we're from Canada, so I can't imagine what the love was like being in New York City or wherever else, you know, across the world. Because just being in Canada here, they had a definite strong effect on everybody here, and deservedly so, you know. And much love goes to his family. You know, I know they're feeling, obviously they're feeling the loss of this. But my heart goes out to Havoc too, man, because, I mean, those guys have been part of each other's lives since they were 15 years old. You know, they started that journey together. They worked their way up. They became great, like just incredible at their craft. They survived the bumps and the bruises of the music business. And now that's it. Like, what happens now?
You know? No doubt. And I think, you know, the one time that really I chill with them in any real kind of way, I chill with them in San Francisco one time during a music convention called the Gavin. But, you know, I actually found them in the studio one night, and this is when I first taken a job at RCA Records.
Okay.
And I needed some voiceovers. I needed some people to do some voiceover stuff for me. And they came down to the studio. I told them I was doing a mixtape for SWV. And, you know, they threw their voices on there just on the strength. They just came down and we spoke. I told them what I was doing. I was, like, going to every floor and seeing who was in the studio and asking them. You know, so I got Red Alert to do it. And once Red, they saw Red doing it. They're like, all right, yeah, we're in SWV, whatever. We'll do it. You know, he just gave some words to it. I told him I wasn't selling it. And they, you know, they showed love. So, you know, I don't have, like, these in-depth experiences with P or with Havoc at all in that way, other than, like, that moment. It was probably the most intimate situation we had. But,
right.
You know, you always felt their music. You always felt their intensity and what they were doing and what they were about. So salute to all the Duns and Dunettes. who are out there, you know, holding it down for QB and for Mobb Deep. Every time I think of them, for some odd reason, I always think of this song, Eye for an Eye, with Nas and
Raekwon. Yeah.
And just how their verses, they stepped back on their own song, because I could tell they didn't really, like, go in, like, crazy go in like they could have in order to let Nas and Raekwon shine, because they did shine on that album,
yeah,
on that song. But just the love they showed by letting those guys do their thing actually made the song even better for all of them. So respect due to Prodigy and respect due to Havoc and their families, and my condolences go to them and their families as well.
Yeah, and the only thing I'll add to that is just that at the end of the day, I felt like a little piece of New York was lost too. Because, I mean, to me, Prodigy especially, I mean, both Havoc and Prodigy for sure, but especially Prodigy, anytime he rapped, it just felt like New York City to me. You know?
No doubt.
Just every time. Just, I'm not saying that he was the only rapper that did that, but if you point to what a New York City era rapper looked like, especially in the mid to late 90s, you pointed at that picture. You pointed at Prodigy.
No doubt.
You know, that was the dude, man. And you know, like I said again, it's sad, man. It's sad. And then just watching everybody else, just, you know, the outpouring of love. And it's, you know, I keep mentioning this to friends and different people that I've been talking to about this. It's you wish that love came, you know, a little earlier. You know what I mean?
Well, I think the love was there. I mean, people know about his health issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been battling sickle cell for his whole life, basically. So people were aware of it, you know, and it was just kind of sudden. I mean, you think about, you know, Sean Price passing away from sleep apnea, but he also had other, like, health issues he was dealing with. And, you know, Fife was dealing with health issues. You know, he had diabetes. So, you know, I think that sometimes you look at rappers and we tell these, like, incredible superhero stories sometimes, and the reality is that we're people just like everybody else and have health issues. And if we don't take care of those things, you know, as best we possibly can, or we do things to injure those things, you know, and not take care of our health, then these things can happen. It's sad, but it is the reality of life, and we just, you know, as much as we possibly can, want to be able to celebrate the years he was, you know, he was here and what he did, the body of work he left behind.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And my last question here is, do you think that there's anybody out there now that kind of reminds you a little bit of Prodigy today?
Man, I throw a TV at you, crazy. No, man, stop doing lyrics right now. Yo, take your baby mom's advice. Nothing sweet, though, with the gun. You pay the price. It's just a different time. It's just a different time. I think that his voice was a voice for his era. You know, it's a different era when you have guys and man blouses trying to step to other rappers at award shows who can't even rap over their own beat when they go on ESPN. They can't even do the right ad-libs. Like, it's a different time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You have guys like Kendrick Lamar, who's different, or, you know, if I was thinking about, like, somebody who, you know, I could hear, you know, let me retract that. These cats from Buffalo, West Side Gunn and Conway the Machine, they have that same kind of spirit. They are, like, when you hear them, you don't think Buffalo, you think New York, and that's no diss to Buffalo, mm-hmm. but, like, the fact that these guys came out and they do their thing, I mean, they get busy. Benny, all those cats in that whole Griselda Records clique, they get busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if any rappers reminded me to any degree of Prodigy at all, it'd be like West Side Gunn and Conway the Machine, just the wordplay, you know, the sinister wordplay for sure, the attitude, you know, just that whole energy. You know, I take it for what it is. I mean, I understand it from the entertainment standpoint. You know, a guy like Conway getting shot in the neck, and, you know, he could have been easily, well, I'm going to opt out the contract, dog. I'm not going to do this anymore.
Right.
I look a certain way. I feel a certain way. But that only lends to his credibility to a lot of kids in the street, which is a bad way to go about it. But it is what it is. But he didn't stop following his dream. He's still a writer. I mean, his pen is pretty heavy. You know, I always say at the end of my tweets or whatever when I'm talking about my articles, the Quill game is heavy. And so, you know, the Quill for Conway and West Side Gunn is pretty heavy as well.
You know what? I forgot about those guys because I did hear a couple of freestyles with them. They were on either Sway or Funkmaster Flex. It might have been Funkmaster Flex, and I heard the freestyle. And, whew,
you are wasting your time if you have not started to study the catalog of West Side Gunn and those guys. As a matter of fact, you know, in homage to Buffalo, I would suggest just for the sake of it, for the fun of it, you go and you listen tonight to Rex Ryan, the song called Rex Ryan, featuring Rock Marciano. And that was one of my favorite songs. Like, I just played that over and over again because Rock Marciano had me crying, and West Side Gunn had me crying, and of course Conway had me crying. These guys are wild, but I enjoy what they do. I can't front, so.
Okay. Yeah, no doubt, man. All right, Dunny.
You don't know that dumb language? Shout out to Prodigy forever, man.
Yeah, no question. So once again, Will, thank you once again for coming out and sharing your thoughts on Prodigy. Once again, I think you got a basketball tournament coming on. Let the people know about it, brother.
Full Court 21 Canada is the world's most unique basketball tournament. The idea was invented by hip-hop icon Bobbito Garcia, one of my best friends. It's a global tournament. I run the Canadian portion of it. We have 5 cities here in Canada where we run it. Edmonton, Montreal, Halifax, Toronto, and Vancouver. We start July 8th. I don't know if I'm supposed to give a date in this, but, you know, we go from July 8th and every Saturday after that until August 5th. The World Final is in New York, August 22nd. You're playing the qualifier to play in the World Final, and we hope that everybody comes out. It is my favorite price for all the fans. It is free $99. That, once again, free $99. And for the players, if you want to play in it, $40 covers your T-shirt, your registration fee, and your referee fees for the day. So come out. It's a great tournament. And do remember, it's you against the world. No teammates. Bring your game. Get busy and do work.
It's the real Full Court.
And you know what? If people want to find me online, you can find me on IG at Will Strickland 1. You can find me on Twitter at Wallsters of 1. You know, you can find us at Full Court 21 CA on IG and on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook at Full Court 21 Canada. So we look forward to hearing from you, and thanks again for having me on, man.
Yeah, as always, man. Thank you. So that concludes Section 2 of the podcast. Once again, shout out to Will Strickland for coming on the Ave. Make sure you check out the Full Court 21 Canada Basketball Tournament, which will be in selected cities across the country, starting in Vancouver July 8th, in Toronto July 15th, in Halifax July 22nd, in Montreal July 29th, and it ends off in Edmonton on August the 5th. For more information, check out the details on their Facebook page. That's facebook.com/fullcourt21ca. That's facebook.com/fullcourt2121. The number is 21ca. All right? Great concept. It should be a lot of fun. To wrap up the podcast, past contributor to South Shore Ave, Sean Adonis, joins me to talk about the impact of Shook Ones and how the infamous album influenced a new breed of rappers and a generation of mob fans to follow. I want to welcome back one of my past contributors to South Shore Ave. He's been a guest on the anniversary episodes of Reasonable Doubt and the movie Juice. Please welcome Sean Adonis to the show. What's up, Sean?
How you doing, brother?
Nah, everything is good, brother. Everything's good. Sean.
Yes, sir.
Prodigy.
Yeah, man.
What the hell, man? What's happening to the guys you grew up on, man?
Man, despite what you may have felt growing up, man, our idols are mortal men, man.
For you real. Know,
our hip-hop idols growing up, you know, they seem like they were immortal, but I mean, they're mortal. And it's funny, man, like, we'll get into this, I'm sure, man, but it's like a shock. And then after they're gone, you realize how much of a gap that absence leaves, man. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, because it's funny, because when, you know, like, when Biggie died, and you know, like, I mean, that was like 20 years ago, but when Biggie died, it was like, it was a shock. Of course, it was a major shock, because you would have never expected somebody of that magnitude to leave the planet that young. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there was so much other guys that was around still, where you're just like, okay, well, this, even though it was a huge loss, but you're like, yo, you know, it's 20 something years old. That's just a happenstance. But now it's like, listen, man, we getting up there. So it's you kind of like, listen, when somebody comes to town, you're kind of like, you know what? Maybe I should go see them. Because at this stage, you just don't know.
Yeah, exactly, man. And the funny thing is, like, I mean, life and mortality as a whole. Like, you know, you always take it for granted until it slaps you in the face. And you're like, oh, my gosh, we lost so-and-so. You know what I mean?
Right.
But with that said, though, man, it's like, you know, and then even when you add the other layer to the whole situation where Prodigy had sickle cell. So, you know, like, in general, he's not really supposed to live as long as people who aren't inflicted with that condition can live. But, I mean, I don't know. It was just so out of the blue, man. So out of the blue, and it was so like, that's our youth, man. Mobb Deep, man.
I know.
Mobb Deep, like, the ascension of Mobb Deep, literally, it parallels to our ascension from adolescence to manhood, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or what we thought was manhood, because we were teenagers at the time.
Right.
But, you know, that's when we really, you know, came to, you know, really start, you know, we were coming to our own and what have you. And Mobb Deep, like, they were the signature, or they were that group that really pushed the envelope back then, you know what I mean? Because they were the murder music dudes and stuff, and, you know, they were gully and they were gutter, and we were young teenagers, and they just fit exactly how, you know, like, they just made you really, they just resonated with you, you know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, with their intro, or what was their intro to us, which were Shook Ones, because what were they before? They were, what were they called again?
Well, no, they were still
something Poets or something before they became Mobb Deep. They had an album before.
Yeah, but I mean, there were, I believe they were Mobb Deep before, but they, you know, but they were different style. I think the first album was Juvenile Hell, you know.
Juvenile Hell, yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, exactly, yeah. Yeah, man, like, honestly speaking, brother, like, this kind of thing, it really makes me sad, man. Like, I'll be honest, it was a progressive sadness. The initial response to me was shock, like, oh, shit, Prodigy died, man? And I'm like, ah, oh, that's sad, man. But then you got everyday life going on, so I'm like, ah, oh, that's horrible. And then I just go back to life, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not until, you know, you start scrolling through Instagram and seeing everybody talking about it. Then you start thinking about it. Then you're like, man, I was just literally listened to these albums 2 days ago, man. You know?
Wow.
And then it starts really hitting you. Then you're like, man, like, this dude that that had such an impact on not just me, I think, but as hip hop as a whole, man,
mm-hmm.
is just gone. And I don't know if then or if even now he's gonna get his due credit, man.
You know, it's interesting because I think the biggest thing that I think kind of shocked me the most of his death, and it's funny, I'm surprised, but maybe I shouldn't be surprised because of just what you said. But I feel like his death really affected our generation the most, like late 30s, early 40s. Like, I think for our generation, I think I was kind of taken aback as to how much it affected our generation. Like, just looking through social media, speaking with friends. I mean, Sean, since he's passed, literally every day I get a message on my phone, whether it's a Prodigy lyric or a video or an interview. Like, it's consecutively 5 days straight I've gotten something, you know, and I'm sitting there like, wow, listen, when Fife died last year, that messed up my day. I can't lie to you, like, that messed up my day, and I was the biggest Tribe Called Quest fan. I love those guys to death.
Okay,
But when Prodigy died, like, yeah, I felt the same way. It was a progressional sadness. Like, I was like, man, you know, that sucks. And then I was home the next day, and I'm just going through just the songs, some of the videos. I'm having conversations with so many, like, different people and groups, and I'm sitting back like, shit, like, yo, this guy, damn, this guy really was an icon for a hip hop icon for our age group, our age demographic. It really was. It was crazy.
Yeah, man.
And to see it gone, you know, just like that, and somebody that was so pivotal to, you know, obviously as a two man duo, he was so pivotal. I mean, that's it. Like, it's not like you're gonna go to another Mobb Deep concert. That's it.
Exactly.
It's it. It's over. You know what I mean?
And the sad thing is, I think they came here, I think last year, and I'm like, Mobb Deep, I don't feel like going. I got work tomorrow. It's the middle of the week, you know. And I look at it now, I'm like, man, I wish I would have went, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's funny, man. Like, you know, you get jaded by life and jaded by adulthood and adult problems. You know, not necessarily problems, but responsibilities. And you're like, listen, man, like, you hear somebody dies, and you're like, that's a shame, man. But either way, his death, I look at my taxes. I don't pay any less taxes based on his death. They don't take any less. My bills aren't lessened because of his death. So I got to keep moving, you know? And like, realistically speaking, like I said, I heard Prodigy died. I'm like, well, listen, man, that's sad. That's too bad, but whatever. But it amazed me, like we said, progressively, especially like after our conversation the other night when we were talking about the Shook Ones beat, and I was actually going through and looking at the different beats and the different samples. And yo, bro, as a hard back bill paying man, I sat there and I was literally sad. I was sitting there and listening to Mobb Deep, which the reaction is never sadness. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, man, like, it's really the death of a hip-hop icon. An icon who will not, I don't think, get his proper respect as an icon. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's really sad. And we were talking about this the other night, too. Like, I don't know if people give Prodigy, I can't say I don't know. I know they don't give him the credit he deserves. When you heard Prodigy's flow, if I was in Queens, maybe I'd say, okay, that's a Queens flow, I've heard it before. But that was the first time I was exposed to that flow.
Yeah.
So I'm a Mobb Grimy, Ronnie, Hungry and Grimy, Mobb Shicey, I'm Father to be a Gotti. Like, that flow, nobody rapped like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, that's true.
But after that, you started hearing Nature rap like that. You started hearing, you know, different people from Queens, Noriega rap like
Capone
that.
So, and Tragedy, yeah. And yeah.
Yeah, so that became the Queens flow, but that was the first time I heard it, because Havoc didn't even rap like that.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, and that Queens flow, man, like, regardless what you want to say, like, it was so melodic, aside from the fact that he was spitting lyrics for a few albums until he fell off and didn't care about rap anymore. Mm-hmm. But aside, you know, he was spitting lyrics, but that flow, that voice, man, like, that was a moment in time in hip-hop. That was a moment in time, man.
I'll ask you this question. What was your first impressions? I'll give you my story, but what was your first impressions of Shook Ones? The first Shook Ones Part 2 when you first heard it.
I mean, I remember exactly, I think, where I first heard it. I think Robin Headley went to New York and brought back that coveted
Hot 97
or BET or whatever yeah. it was, Yo MTV Raps
right.
Videotape. And I remember they had all kind of videos that they played, you know, that guy Nine and what have you, and then one of them was Shook Ones. So, you know, we go, it's all an event, we go over there to watch, you know, what they brought back, and we were checking it out, and then, you know, once that came on, I'm like, wow, like, I can't even really tell you exactly what I was thinking, but I was just thinking, like, yo, I never heard nothing like this, man. Mm-hmm. And then you see them, and you see, you know that they're so gutter, and they're walking around with their cups of liquor, and you know what I mean, and their jerseys, and it was just like, I can't put it in, I don't think I could really do it justice right now, but it wasn't only a song, it was a feeling. Like, you know, like you watch, like, music videos back then, because back then, different from now, I can't tell you the last time I watched a music video.
Right.
Actually, I watched a Rihanna music video with DJ Khaled, but don't tell anybody. But
so, tell it everybody.
Other than that, I can't tell you the last time I watched a music video. But that, you know, there was no Lil X production special effects or anything like that, but there was just such a feeling to that song, video. It was just a feeling. So even from then, from the first time I heard it, it differentiated itself from other things that you hear that are easily forgettable. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? My story is kind of similar. Our friend Rob at the time, they went to New York for the holidays or whatever and came back. You might have been at Champlain. I think I was in my last year at Centennial, right?
Okay.
And I remember he came back and he was like, yo, see? Yo, I heard this. There's a group called Mobb Deep. They have this song called Shook Ones. It's the best song I've ever heard in my life. And you know, and back then, you know, we just came off of listening to, like, Ready to Die and Nas and Boot Camp. And that was that literally that whole renaissance of the East Coast coming back. They were they were coming back to be great again. Like, the West Coast was dominating for a while, but the East Coast came, like, especially 94. Like, that was a year from Boot Camp, Redman. Just everybody was just hitting hard. Tribe, they just came off Midnight Marauders. That's probably one of the best years of hip-hop ever, to be honest with you. That's probably could be another podcast altogether. But,
yeah,
but
so,
we literally just came off of that. So for somebody to say, after all that, you know what I mean, after Illmatic and all these albums and stuff, and, you know, not, and including, like, Doggy Style and the West Coast and all that stuff, and here's this guy saying, listen, this is the best song I heard in my life. I'm like, man, shut up, man. Like, get out of here. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, yo, I'm telling you, this is the best song I ever heard. And I remember he brought it back. He brought it to school, like, the next day. And there was a spot at Centennial we used to hang in, the second lounge. And he had Myron, the guidance counselor, play it on the stereo so everybody could hear it.
Myron.
Right?
Man, what a blast from the past.
But yeah, so I remember he played it. And the first, before Prodigy even rapped, the beat alone, just that whole intro and to all the killers in the $100 buildings, just that whole part. I remember, like, we were just in a huddle. We're just all huddled together, all the black kids, and we're all like, yo, what the hell is this? Like, just the beat alone. If you just played the instrumental, I think that alone would have been like, yo, this is one of the sickest beats I ever heard in my life. And then when Prodigy comes in, I got you stuck off the realness. We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official Queensbridge. And then when he starts going on that whole verse, I didn't even need to hear Havoc. Like, Havoc was like the cherry on top.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, after Prodigy was done, I remember thinking, like, wow, Robert, you're right. I never heard anything like that in my life. This is insane. And honestly, even at that moment, you kind of felt like a star was born. you know, when some rappers or somebody comes in and you know, we'll discuss it back and forth. We'll be like, yo, this guy, you hear this song? This guy spat like an ill verse, and you know, like, this song is crazy, such and such and such. Yo, this guy put himself on the map. But I felt like Prodigy with that song, he kind of skipped that process of putting himself on the map. He went from kind of like an unknown or you know, only like the real hip-hop heads knew who he was, to all of a sudden he was a superstar. And I felt like he leapt the whole process in one verse. Like, he went from being like a no name to like all of a sudden he's shoulder to shoulder with Nas and all these guys in one song.
Yeah, you're right, man. And even to add on that, like, when you heard that song, and you know, that song, it caught fire and everybody loved it and what have you, and then when the Infamous came out, And I was like, all right, let me hear this. You know, I love Shook Ones. Let me hear these guys. I never figured that I would be, like, listening to an album and be like, I love Shook Ones, but that isn't even the song that that's going to be on repeat from this album. Like, from the beginning of the song, beginning of the album, what was it? The first one was what, Start of the Ending?
Start of the Ending, yeah.
From the intro, it was flabbergasting. My brain couldn't friggin' grasp how amazing this album was, man. The beats, like, Havoc, I wouldn't say outdid himself, because, I mean, that was the first exposure I had to him. But the level of the beat, like, from starting and ending to that one he had with Ghost and Ray.
Yeah.
Ghost and Ray?
Right Back at You.
Yeah, or which one was it again? Okay, so it was, you started out with the Start of Your Ending.
Then it was the interlude, and then it was Survival of the Fittest.
Survival of the Fittest. Oh, let me see.
God. Oh, jeez, that's a whole other story right there.
Survival of the Fittest. Eye for an Eye.
Eye for an Eye.
That beat was insane. Not to mention, so here's the thing. These dudes came out like, yo, these dudes are dope, man. But then they came out with beats, and then all of a sudden, features that you couldn't imagine they would have got.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
They had Nas and Raekwon. They had frickin' Q-Tip. You know what I mean?
Then they
had Ghostface and Raekwon again. Because the whole video had the feel of these dudes that were like, you know, just the forgotten. You know what I mean? Like, just like, you know, the underdogs. But they came in as underdogs and had huge features. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the beats were crazy. The lyrics were crazy. Like, there, other than like Up North Trip, to me, which wasn't my favorite, it wasn't garbage, but you know, I kind of skipped that track when I came to it. But there's no throwaways, no cutaways on that album.
There's no fillers.
Jeez, it was insane, 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 insane.
There's no fillers.
You know what bothers me though? What bothers me is that P is not mentioned in anybody's top five. Just because of the fact that it was a group, Mobb Deep. But top five, 90 acts, people talk about Wu. Man, Mobb got to be up there, man.
Got to have to be.
Impactful music for our generation, Mobb's got to be there, man.
Absolutely. I think it's funny. What I think of the Infamous, and I'm not saying this just because you know, I'm using hyperbole here because, you know, Prodigy died and everything else. I always felt like, along of like Illmatic and stuff, when it comes to the 90s, I'm like, yo, that's not just one of the best albums in hip hop. I think that's just one of the best albums of that whole decade period.
Like, yeah, like, that's a good point.
Just honestly, just because it helped kind of change the culture. As you said, like they started that whole Dunn language,
yeah,
you know, just
man.
Just the whole slang that came along with that. And you know, like, you had Wu, and Wu had their whole slang, but they came with the whole Dunn slang, the Dunn language, the whole slang with that. In 95, between Mobb Deep and Built for Cuban Lynx, Sean, you were good. Like, if you had a
that's
car
true.
In 95, that's all you were playing.
That's true.
And you're straight. Like it's funny, I still remember going to New York for about, like, 2 weeks, and I remember, Sean, every car, if they weren't playing Cuban Lynx, they're still playing the Infamous. And
yeah,
it was like there was no like which one was better. They were just, yo, they're just great. Don't compare them, because it's an insult to both of them to compare. And that's it. It's just a classic. Like, that's all it is. It's just a classic. Like, and it's funny, as you're going down the line of the list of the songs on the Infamous, because yeah, you had the Eye for an Eye, And then they had the interlude, you know, where Big Noid was rapping, and then he comes in, I got plans, power movements, get on some rules. And like even the interludes were like, you know, they were like rewindable.
Yep.
And then boom, here comes Give Up the Goods. Here comes Temperatures Rising. Like, it's, I mean, geez, you can go down the list. And as you mentioned for features, I mean, not only the fact they came out of nowhere and they got these features, I mean, somebody like Q-Tip also, it wasn't enough that they got like a feature to do, you know, a couple of bars on a track, but he produced like three songs.
Yeah, I forgot about that, actually.
Which is kind of almost unheard of, too. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
Exactly. He's not a scrub producer.
No. Not at all.
It's like, you know, cut my hair, Picasso. Oh, that's great. I heard of him.
Yeah, Picasso gave me the Caesar. You're like, are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, he did the taper in the back, man. He's hot.
Yeah, man.
For our generation, like I said again, man, Mobb Deep definitely goes on in history. It like I said to me, not to repeat this again, but it just I'm still just a little floored by the fact of how much this affected everybody. And but like in talking to you, obviously, rightfully so, right?
Like, yeah, for sure, man.
Right, rightfully so. Now, you bring up a good point. Like in the golden era of hip hop, right? Where do you think the Infamous ranks all time? I hate to put that question on you, but, you know.
Me, personally, I think, because, okay, before Mobb Deep, right, you had, you know, you had the Kool G Raps.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, you know, as far as gutter, ghetto, I don't want to use Murder Music again, because, I mean, that's the name of the album, but as far as, like, gutter, ghetto, young, confident, cocky street rap, you know, with that twist of violence and whatever.
And swagger, like, you hate to use the word swag, but I mean,
yeah,
but it was dripping of that, though. You can't.
But before Mobb Deep, who did that? Like I said, Kool G Rap, he kind of fathered that, but, you know, he doesn't get the credit for that. But before Mobb Deep, who was really rapping just all about that? All about in the East Coast, that is, because the West Coast you had, you know, gangster rappers. That's all they rapped about was
NWA and stuff. Yeah,
yeah. But East Coast equivalent, slightly to gangster rap. Who was doing that at that time? Nobody was doing that.
Nobody I can think of.
You know, like that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're gonna like someone will point me out.
I mean, you want to use Onyx? I don't know. I mean,
but Onyx was after them, no?
No, I think Onyx was before them. But it wasn't the same, though. Like I liked Onyx, but it wasn't the same. Like,
but Onyx was headbanging, wild, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it was different. Onyx was more amped, energetic, just crazy guys. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But they were still good. Don't get me wrong. I liked Onyx, too. But, I mean, it was a different flavor, though. I think, personally, like, Mobb Deep should be given credit for starting that type of hip-hop, which, let's be honest, after that, ended up dominating East Coast rap altogether. Like, they started out what ended up being rap in the East Coast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because, I mean, they dropped before Cuban Lynx.
Yeah.
Too, right?
I'll say Wu-Tang. I won't say that they fathered Wu-Tang at all, but, I mean, because Wu-Tang, regardless of what you want to say about Wu-Tang, yeah, Ghost and Ray may have talked that kind of shit, too, but that wasn't really all they were about. But Mobb Deep was, their whole thing was about, we're Mobb Deep and we're going to rap about our clique and our crew and bring no names in that you ain't heard of. And that's our boys. That's Noid. And that's Ty Nitty and this and do, you know, like they brought all that in, like, you know, bringing in nobodies to start rapping. Nobody did that stuff back then.
And made it sound good.
Yeah, they started a whole bunch of things that are just commonplace today and commonplace later on. And they were the first people I heard of do that, to me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they're the first to bring their boys on. Like, I mean, everybody does that. But they'll be the first to be sitting there just rapping about their crew. Like, why do I know who Karate Joe is? I know who Karate Joe is because they rap about Karate Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And they rap about crew members and this dude and that dude. And, you know, like, maybe other people did it, but it wasn't as memorable. I could name, if you asked me to name you some of the infamous mob members, I could name them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Without even hearing their music.
Yeah, because that's what they brought to it. They brought to that crew feel, that, you know, that clique, promoting their clique and bigging up their clique and this and that. But one last thing I want to say, though, is that, and we spoke about this briefly the other day, is this death to me really, really put a spotlight on, I think, what is the negative aspect of how we handle this thing that we call hip-hop, man. Because, you know, like, Mobb Deep, you want to say what? They came out with a good, I would say, good two classic albums. Murder Music, I'll give it an honorable mention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, groups or artists who are not hip-hop, if they have two classic albums in their genre, they're touring
for the rest of their lives, yeah,
filling stadiums with that, and given icon status, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they waltz right into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
But Mobb Deep ain't going in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And Prodigy and Havoc, yeah, they were touring. They were making a living off of touring. But unfortunately in hip hop, you come out with two great albums, we're like, man, those two albums were great. So what are you gonna do next? When's your next great album? And if you come out with another album and it sucks, or it doesn't live up to what your previous ones were, we're like, so and so's falling off. But does anybody expect Bono to come out with 30 hit albums? They don't expect that from U2. They don't expect that from U2. They don't expect that from the Rolling Stones.
Right.
The Rolling Stones come out with, I don't know what they came out with. Let's say they came out with three hit albums. I'm not well-versed enough to know. But we don't expect them to keep on reinventing themselves for 20 years, man.
I know, it's true. I think the other point you got to bring up, too, is just the fact that I remember it's a line that Kanye says, like, you don't give, it's okay to give people the roses while they can still smell them. Because,
yeah.
And I remember we talked about this. You're like, yo, 2 days before, you're like, unfortunately, you're like, yo, nobody was checking for Prodigy.
At all.
Nobody was like, unless you're a real hip hop head and you're feeling a nostalgic moment, you weren't checking for Prodigy or for Mobb Deep that way.
Yeah.
You know, and I have the same story, too. I think last year, same thing. They came to Toronto, and I thought about going, but then it's one of those things you kind of forgot about it. And then it's like when you looked up, it was like, oh, shit, the concert happened already? You're like, damn, you know, too bad. You know, maybe I'll catch him next time. It's like he's getting this love now, and it's great. I think it's deserved for sure. But it goes back onto the fact that, you know, again, it's underappreciated. Because you said, like, when it comes to, like, the 90s from... You know, and I discussed this with you even like during the week. I'm like, yo, that their 5 year run from like 95 to 99 is comparable to pretty much to almost any, and like I'll put it up there with almost anybody.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not gonna say it's better than, you know, this one or that person, but like their 5 year run from the Infamous to the Hell on Earth album. You know, they took a little break and then they came out with Murder Music and stuff to end off the decade. But that whole run, it was consistency. Like,
yeah,
as you said, it was an honorable mention, but it was still a nice album. Like, I even popped it in the other day and I'm like, yo, this album was still straight. I mean, and then you had Quiet Storm, which honestly might have been one of their biggest song, if not for Shook Ones.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I think about it, Sean. They did.
You're right.
They did Quiet Storm, right? Like Prodigy did Quiet Storm, the first Quiet Storm, and it was just him. Havoc was just on the hook. Prodigy rapped the whole track. That's a classic song. They come out with a remix with the two of them and Lil Kim. That's also a classic. The beat didn't change.
That's true. You're right.
You know what I mean? The beat didn't change. They just added a different verses. They're both classics.
Yeah,
you would play both of them, no problem. You just hear the beat and that's it, you know.
Yeah,
and,
right,
but going back to Shook Ones for just a quick second before we go, the only thing I would say is that's probably their most important song. You know, like I don't want to say it's their greatest song. You can actually say it is their greatest song, but it's definitely the most important song. Like it allowed them to skip the process from putting him on the map to superstardom. just thinking back, that song to me was like, holy shit. Like, who the fuck are these guys? These guys are superstars. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then you heard maybe another track or two, and you're like, oh my God. Okay, this wasn't a fluke. These guys are great.
Yeah,
you true, know, man. And by the end of the year, you were completely sold. So, like, you know, to answer that original question of where do you rank it all time, I think it's too hard to say. But when I think of like all time classic albums for me, I think Illmatic, Ready to Die, The Chronic, Doggy Style, The Infamous, Cuban Links, 36 Chambers. Like, it's an easy seven. Right there.
Yep. And I tell you what, personally, I would put The Infamous against any of those albums.
Of course.
And I would even say, like, this may make people gasp, but I think that album was better than Ready to Die, personally.
Hmm.
The Infamous, to me, is a better complete album than Ready to Die.
Hmm.
To me, there's more songs that I'll skip in Ready to Die than I'll skip in The Infamous, personally, man. And yeah, I'll put like that album all time, one of the best albums in hip hop, man.
It's tough to say when you say that of Ready to Die, because yeah, you know I'm a fan of Ready to Die, but the point is though, you can legitimately argue it. I think, like, I know Biggie changed the game and stuff.
Yeah.
Totally understandable, and that album gets all the credit it deserves and more, but you can at least make the case. You could definitely make the case on why you think Infamous is better than, you know, like say Ready to Die or even a Doggy Style or whatever. Like you can definitely make the case. And that's the greatness in itself.
Yeah, I think so too, man. It's up for debate at the very least. No one's gonna be like, get the hell out of here, you maniac.
Because you're like, yo, The Infamous, and you go The Infamous was nice. Because when you think of it, it's like you look at like Nas and you look at, well, maybe Wu didn't have that initial cosign because they all came out, you know, together at one point in time, you know, you know, they were a shock. But like Biggie, he had the Puff Daddy cosign for a little while. You heard him on remixes and different things. Nas had, you know, Large Professor and all these people. Snoop had Dr. Dre. You know what I mean? So there was like, you had like some sort of a cosign. At least you heard of them before. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
or their name was bubbling. You know what I mean?
True.
So the fact that these guys are, you put that album and their body of work alongside those guys, and they had no cosign. Like, they just came out of nowhere, basically. Like, the first album hit it from the back. Like, I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, I was a big fan of them from back in that day. That's a lie. Because my first encounter with Mobb Deep was Shook Ones 2. But their first album, it didn't make noise to the point where, when, at the time they came out with The Infamous, they were almost like newcomers.
Yeah, it's true.
20-something years later, The Infamous is rings bells, is one of the best albums ever, and then Shook Ones on top of that. You know, it's 20-something years later, I still don't get tired of listening to that song.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, like you said to me the other day, too, people still freestyle over that beat just because that beat itself is just such an amazing beat. People today will still freestyle over that.
Yeah, and rightfully so. Like, it's an undeniable classic. It's a timeless beat. Like I said, man, I've never gotten tired of that song still to this day. It's weird.
Yeah,
it's crazy. True. But anyways, brother, thank you for touching on your thoughts on Prodigy for this segment.
Yes, sir. I mean, he'll definitely be missed, man. It's just very unfortunate that we and many other people say that it takes something like this for us to really realize how much we appreciated his music and how much we appreciated the impact he had, you know, and then now we look at it and say, man, what a great contribution he made to the music. You know what I mean? It's too bad that we didn't let him know or let him feel that while he was around, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very unfortunate, man.
Totally with you on that one.
Yes, sir.
So that concludes this edition of the Av Podcast. And shout out to Sean Adonis for coming on and going down memory lane with his thoughts on Shook Ones and The Infamous classic album. As usual, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to the Av today. And once again, to listen to more podcast shows, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. And make sure you look out for the 25th anniversary podcast of the movie Boomerang. Make sure you stay tuned into that one as well. As well as season 2 of The Stoop, which will be out in July. Also, as a bonus, click the link below to tune into a segment from Chris Nice's Grooves and Rhythms Mix Show, where he did a dedication last Friday to Prodigy and Mobb Deep. Once we're done here, of course. So if you're a Mobb fan, better make sure you click on to that. Rest in peace to the one and the only Albert Johnson, a.k.a. Prodigy. Rest in peace. You will be missed. For DJ Chris Nice, DJ G Sharp, Will Strickland, and Sean Adonis, my name is Cal C, and this is the AF Podcast on South Shore Ave Radio. Until the next podcast, folks, peace.